fact that we see the professional and the laity, and we see church more as a place that we go, not a thing that we are. And this kind of throws it in our face just a little bit. And I guess the question is, are you capable of ministry? If you've been a Christian more than 5 years, the answer to that should be yes. How many times have you picked up the phone and just called and said, "Pastor, I need you to go to and do"? And the question is, can you do that? And why? Then if you can, then why don't you? Because we're seeing something happen that needs to happen. It's a paradigm shift. The fact is that we're all ministers, that we're all called, we all have the same calling, we're all members of the body of Christ, and we've all been called to the Great Commission. And practical things like we saw in this video, encouraging a kid that their parents are going through divorce. Maybe nothing more than tossing a football. You don't know what that does to kids, and you don't know what kids go through who go through divorces unless you've been through one. Or a lady who has lost her husband and has needs around her house. And this is one of the things I love about getting life groups out of the church and into the neighborhoods. Because we can start making a difference in our neighborhoods. We can start making a difference in the area in which we live. And I want to read this in Matthew 16:12. There's a lot of things that were going on during this time. The Pharisees and the Sadducees had come to Jesus and they were demanding that He work miracles. Isn't that amazing? Prove to us who you are. Work a miracle for us. But right after that, and right before the transfiguration, there's something very significant that happened. Matthew 16:12. Well, let's start with 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said to Him, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And He said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now I want us to take apart this next few verses. Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you. To be envied are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but My Father who is in heaven. And I say also to you that you are Petros," which is translated Peter. Petros, which means a little rock, a small stone. "And upon this Petra, a huge rock, I will build My church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." He says, Peter, you have received something from the Father that makes you solid as a rock. And the thing that you have received from the Father is a huge rock. And on this huge rock, I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So we see that this huge rock is this revelation. What is this revelation? That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now this is a very interesting thing. You notice that this is the place where it starts. This is the foundation. This is the rock that everything else is built on. And this is a very exclusive and inclusive revelation. Because it defines what makes up the church, but yet it does not limit the church in what it can be. And I like that about this. Because we have a tendency as human beings, we like to place limitations. How many of you know that we serve a limitless God with a limitless gospel? And we have a tendency by our own self-limitations to limit what God can do. But we serve a limitless God who has given us a limitless gospel. And at the same time, this is a very exclusive revelation, and at the same time, it's very inclusive because it leaves something open for expansion. The only limitation here is the revelation that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is what is defined as church. Now, we define church in a lot of different ways. We define it sometimes as the organization, the denomination, the set of beliefs, or what we try to do, if we're not careful, is we try to take what we have built and make it something that is exclusive. When God wants us to be inclusive, but at the same time, the revelation defines the parameters or the boundaries of our existence. See, when we cease to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, we cease to be a church. Now, you say, that doesn't happen. Yes, it does. Because there is a pervasive ideal in the world right now, and they're wanting us to be inclusive about everything. That we need to include people. Well, I agree and disagree with that. If we're going to be a church, we have to stay on the foundation that we have been given. And that is that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But in our, can I say this, politically correct society, then we need to be a people who are inclusive. Now, I believe that as evangelical Christians, that we need to love everybody. You know, you need to love atheists. You need to love people of other religions. You need to love people of no religion. But that does not mean that what they believe is correct. Inclusive means, well, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe something. That's not what Jesus said. That's not what Jesus said that He would build His church on. He says, on this rock, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, and the neat thing about that is there are people from all kinds of backgrounds who believe that. And I love that. I love that. One thing about the church, you can't franchise it. You can't box it in. You can try to, but it won't be successful. And the church, even though that it's exclusive, it is broad enough that it does not define the culture. It will fit the culture wherever it is. In fact, what it will do, it will eventually change the culture, and it doesn't have to become the culture. In certain other religions, they have very precise things that they have to do in order to be what they are. In Judaism and Islam and many of the other religions, that becomes their culture. A neat thing about Christianity is that you can be so flexible in your culture, and people look at you and say, well, you're not a religion. Yay! We ought to say, when people say, well, you're not religious, and you ought to say, yay, we're not. We're about Jesus, that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and we can be a church, and we can be diverse in our culture. And I love that about the church. You know, if you want to be high church, you can be high church, and it's okay. If you want to be contemporary, it's okay. God has people who attend all kinds of different churches. We've even got some here that are a member of Christ Church. Isn't that right?
That's right.
You know why? Because we believe that He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. You say, I don't believe that. Then I got news for you. You're not a member of His church. Because He said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. Well, I believe you can get to heaven any way you want to. Okay, you can believe that. That's fine. That's your privilege. But guess what? You're not a part of Christ's church. Because it's this rock that He's going to build His church on. See, just because you say Jesus doesn't mean that you're talking about the same Jesus that the Bible talks about. True? False? It's true. It's true. And I love what God is doing. Because I think that He is doing something that is beyond description. It's beyond description. It's diverse. It's bigger than what we see. I love being a part of the Ark. I love being a part of that organization. That their goal is to plant churches. They want to plant 2,000 churches by 2020. That's in what? 10 years? That's a lot of churches to plant in 10 years. And you know how they're doing it? Churches like ours who are giving 2% of their giving, of their tithes and offerings into a fund that's able to go into those places and plant those churches and let the pastor be free to do ministry and not have to, you know, to work two or three jobs to support himself and give advice and help and come alongside. And, you know, the organization does that. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to be a part of. And to see a church like Key Point in Northwest Arkansas in 5 years go from 270 to 1,100 is phenomenal. To see churches like Rick Bizet's church, his and Chris Hodges' church were the first two Ark churches. They went from whatever they started with to 10,000 by this concept of planting churches. And there are other groups doing that. What's happened with the Compass Church here in town is phenomenal. It's a church plant. And in less than, what, they start in February? March, April, May, June, July, August, September, 7 months, they're bumping 300 already. That's phenomenal. That's a yay God. You say, yeah, but they're different than us. No, they're not different than us because they believe that He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you know what? The first chance we get, we're going to hook up and do some stuff with them. We are. Why? Because we're members of the same church. You can't define it by believers. You can't define it by Compass. You can't define it by Catholic. You can't define it by Assembly of God. You can't contain it that way because it's bigger than that. Jesus had a bigger ideal than what we have. His ideal is better. He's like Ford. He's got a better ideal. Although I'm not sure Ford has, but I like the Toyota way. But Jesus has got a better ideal than what we've got. And He is the one that's building His church. And you know what? There's people who are mad about it. They're sad about it. They're fighting it. That's their problem. I want to be a part of what He's doing. And right in the middle, and see what Jesus did? He began to build His church right in the middle of religion. He never did say, I came to start a new religion. He said, I came to build an assembly of people. And that's wonderful. We got our college students that are going to school. I'm so glad that there's part of our church over there to help support them while they're there. It may be called the Baptist Student Union. It may be called Chi Alpha. It may be called something else. But if they believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, they're a member of the same church that we are. Wow. And it's neat. God has some neat people. You guys are making it hard on me today. But God's got some neat people with neat testimonies. In CR the other night, they heard a testimony that blew them away. God is doing great things. God is up to something. We need to be a part of it. Our vision is what? Reach up. What does that mean? That means we're reaching up to God in worship. We're learning what real worship is all about. Worship is more than a song service. Worship is more than singing. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is not only what we do while we're here corporately singing and worshiping and fellowshipping. It's when we walk out the door that we continue that act of worship all in our daily lives. Learning to live in the moment. Remember that? Learning to live in the moment. Because God has assignments for each one of us to do. He's going to bring people into our lives that we can touch and make a difference. That's called worship. It's all tied together. Reach in. Is reach in worship? Yes. It's where we become disciples of Christ. It's where we live in fellowship with one another. This is where our life groups come from. This is what we're doing today comes from. We're reaching in and we're trying to put things in you that helps you connect with one another. You know, one of the greatest things that Jesus said, He says, by this shall men know that you love God. Is the way you love one another. No wonder people are suspect at Christianity. Because we've been more about dividing and fighting with other churches and even within our own selves in the different churches. And we need to be more about loving, forgiving, bearing with, all of those things that we don't like to do. You ever made this? Well, this person just gets on my last nerve. You know what that reveals? An area of your life that you need to deal with. An area of your life that is not Christ-like. Conflict many times reveals the problem in us. And we like to say it's a problem with that person. That person may have a problem. But if that causes me a problem, guess what? I've got a problem. There's an area of my life in which I am not like Christ. And if I want to be like Christ, do you reckon Jesus ever thought, why am I dying for this bunch that don't even care? There's a song we sing. Oh, how deep the Father's love for us. One of the things is that the guy says, I see myself crying out, crucify Him. Our lives cried out, crucify Him. And yet He chose to love us even though we opposed Him. You say, I didn't oppose Jesus. Yes, you did. You opposed Him with your life. When you don't care, you oppose Him. And He still chooses to love you. And this is the kind of love that He said that we could love each other with. That we should love each other with. That means we're going to have to be forbearing. We're going to have to be forgiving. We're going to have unconditional love. And honestly, we don't always want to do that, do we? But guess what? When we don't do that, it reveals a part of our core that's not where it should be. It's called reach in. Reaching in prepares us for reaching out. And this is where I think a lot of churches mess up. And this is where I think that small groups is so important, because it's easy to come into a crowd of people and just blend in, walk in, hear your sermon, do your thing, get up, go home. But when you get connected in a small group of people where you have responsibility to study together, to live life together, to work together, to worship together, to pray together, to take care of each other when somebody is going through something, when you have that connection, the dynamics of the thing begins to change. It begins to change our hearts. And it ought to be easy. But it's not always easy. It's not always easy. But we're talking about being with people with whom we have things in common. And when we're able to do that and we grow into that, then guess what? We're able to be with people with whom we don't have things in common, and we can become the influencers in their life. And that's the reach out. Each one of these is intricately intertwined together. And if we don't get the reach up, we won't get the reach in. We don't get the reach in, we won't get the reach out. If we don't get the reach out, guess what? We don't really get the reach up. Because worship with God, this whole thing is a circle. Reach up, reach in, reach out. Reach up, reach in, reach out. Reach up, reach in. It all goes in a circle together. They all have to work together. It's design. That is the way we grow. That is the way that we increase. That's the way that we grow individually. And that's the way we grow as a group. God wants to do something significant in this area. And if we don't want Him to use us, He will use someone else. Can I say that again? God wants to do something significant in this area. Now I know that there are churches who do not care. They want to just exist. I don't want to exist. I want to thrive. I want to be full of the life of God. I want to be a life-giving church. And we are that to some degree. But guess what? We have to go forward into that. And one of the things that we have to do in order to do that, and I'm going to close with this thought, is we need to come to the point that we're not as consumeristic. In other words, what do I get out of this as much as what can I do for this? Because let me tell you a real secret. Real contentment in life doesn't lie in what you have. It doesn't lie in what comes to you. Real contentment in life lies in what flows through you and out to others. See, you can have all the money in the world. You can have everything that you want, but it will not make you happy. Your real contentment comes with peace with God and learning to be God's instrument to give that peace and life to others. And as you really learn to do that, you can be fulfilling. Have you ever had a job you hated? You made good money, but you hated the job. You know why? Because it serves no purpose other than bring money into your life. I know people who make decisions to move into areas based on finances. And listen, there's more to life than making money. And I like money. Don't you? Does anybody here not like money? If you don't, we'll take another offering up. But I like money. But money don't make you happy. I like stuff. I like my four-wheeler. I like my deer stands. I like my deer rifles. But they don't make me happy. I love my wife. But she's not my source of happiness. I'm happy with my wife. But it's not her who makes me happy. I guess you know where you live, Emil. Why are we always looking for someone to make us happy? Happiness begins in here. And it begins with finding purpose and expressing purpose. Everything that we're trying to do in this church is trying to point you in the direction of becoming an instrument of Jesus Christ. We call you minister. We're trying to give you opportunities to serve in the church, to serve outside the church, to be fulfilled. And I'll try to make it as much about you as I can, pouring into you. Yes, it has to be for you too, but it just can't stop with you. It has to enrich you, and then you have to take that and enrich others. I've said this before. You can only learn so much intellectually. It's when you begin to do it, you learn more. It's like your head, your feet, and then your heart. And it becomes a cycle. Because your head will teach your feet will teach your heart will teach your head. Does that make sense? You learn so much, but you can only go that book learning will only take you so far. Learning the Bible will only take you so far. When you begin to do the Bible, You fall in love with the connections that you make. You embrace it in your heart. Your heart brings you into the next realm of revelation and understanding of the Scripture. The Scripture brings you to another level of service, and your service causes you to connect emotionally and from your heart into another area, and it's a cycle of growth. But see, in our kind of churches, we have put such a premium on learning the Word and getting deeper revelation that that's all we do. That's the tendency that we have just become about ourselves. But start doing, then you'll start loving, and then you'll grow. And you can have all of the revelation knowledge that you want. I've heard it said that we are educated well beyond our obedience. And that's true. If you've been in church more than 5 years, you are educated well beyond your obedience. And when we learn to obey, guess what? It brings the contentment in our life that we need, because we're expressing our purpose in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to pray before I turn it over to Joe. And again, I want to encourage you to go out and sign up for a life group, connect with a group of people. You get to choose who your leader is. It's all cool, and you'll love this study because it's going to challenge you with this. If my life group leaders would go out to their tables, that would be great, and you can sit there and visit with people. But I want to pray a prayer, because I want God to take His hammer and drive this into our hearts. Father God, in Jesus' name, thank You for the church. I'm so grateful that the church was not an invention of man, but it was Your ideal. And Lord God, You can express Your nature and Yourself and Your purpose through Your church, Your people, those who believe that You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, help us not to be a religion, but help us to be a people of relationship. Of relationship with You, but one that is relational with others. Because, Lord, the reason that You gave is because You love. And the reason that You love is so that we will give ourselves to others. Imprint this upon our heart. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.